The Henry Raines Show, only on News Talk 820.
And I ain't no communist, and I ain't no capitalist, and I ain't no socialist, I ain't no imperialist, no, I ain't no Democrat, sure ain't no Republican, I only know one party, and it is freedom. I am a patriot, and I love my country.
Good afternoon, welcome to another edition of the Henry Raines Show. I am so glad to be with you this afternoon. I can't think of anywhere I would rather be. And we are going to be looking at some different issues today. We're going to go local. We're going to go global. We're going to do it all today. First of all, Charlie Crist shows his independent sign. Quotes around independent. Is this foreshadowing of where he's going to run? Well, we're going to ask Kendrick Meek at about 1:15, the Democratic likely candidate for Senate that might be opposing the Republican candidate and maybe opposing an independent candidate, too. Republicans heart Wall Street. Oh, it's love is in the air with the Republicans in the Wall Street and their opposition to health, or excuse me, I forgot the latest reform we're on, financial regulation reform. Oh, my goodness, that's a match made in heaven, but speaking of love, Goldman Sachs is getting some tough love from the federal government. Were they guilty of fraud? We'll find out. President Obama hosted the nuclear summit, and the consensus was everybody hates the other guy's nukes. So we'll be talking with retired Lieutenant General Robert Gard about what the summit did. Did it make us any safer? Is the agreement between the U.S. and Russia going to make us safer? And, oh, what about Iran and those nasty nukes that everybody worries they're going to have? And we're going to take a look at some more Tallahassee follies. Even though Charlie Crist welcomely vetoed the SB 6 education reform, by the way, he also vetoed that campaign slush fund, leadership fund, whatever you want to call it, and he may be have some more issues that he will veto. But we're going to look at a couple, not earth-shaking issues, but things that are going on in Tallahassee that you wonder, to quote Charlie Crist, who's running the asylum? All right, well, we need to cover a little loose ends from a few shows back, actually last show, too. But the Massey coal mine disaster, the loss of the 29 miners, we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks a few times. And if you want to get in on this particular topic, because we'll be talking at Kendrick Meek in just five, 6 minutes, I'll take your calls on this, but then we'll get into the other topics after Kendrick Meek. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. By the way, you can always check out our web stream and also the webcam at newstalk820.com, and we'll tell you how to listen to old shows and relatively new shows, too. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh weighed on this, so I guess I should just yield to the godfather of talk radio and let him have his say about the coal mine disaster at Massey Energy, and then maybe I'll have an observation or two. If Nick would play that, please.
And we're back. Rush Limbaugh behind the golden EIB microphone. So I checked the email during the break, and a bunch of people, hey, Rush, there was no union at that mine, that Massey mine. There were no union. Blankenship kept the union out of there. You can't blame the union for it. The left are trying to blame the Massey disaster on its union busting, in fact. But in 2009, the National Labor Relations Board agreed with a decision that Massey Energy rehire 85 coal miners who said they had been discriminated against because they were union members.
Lie.
So there were union workers there, and so the United Lie. Mine Workers should have been overseeing their safety.
Lie.
United Mine Workers of America. There were union workers at that mine.
Repeat
and the
lie.
Left is trying to say, you can't say that, Limbaugh, why they're in there. It's a non-union shop. That SOB CEO got rid of all these. No, no, he agreed to bring back 85 of them. So, you know, you people, it's been 21 years. At some point, you are going to learn. If you go up against me on a challenge of fact, you are going to be wrong.
Lie.
Just that simple. New.
Oh, Rush! Rush, Rush, Rush. Should there be some kind of camaraderie of the microphone here? Should there be something about your broadcasting achievements that I should respect and not call you out? What do you, let's see. If you go up against me on a challenge of fact, you are going to be wrong. It's just that simple. Well, let's start with the multiple challenges of fact that I have for you, Rush Limbaugh. Actually, those 85 union coal members that you're talking about, Rush, that your massive audience listens to you and believes you tell them the truth. By the way, I believe he's on a opposing station here in the Tampa Bay market. Wonder what the audience of that station would think if they knew that there was such outright deception being told them. They probably wouldn't care. They probably are just going along with the flow. The 85 union coal miners were actually at a different Massey subsidiary at a different mine in a different county than where the disaster occurred. Rush. The coal miners were located at Mammoth Coal, Mammoth, formerly Callender Mine in a different county. I already said that. In fact, Blankenship, the CEO of Massey, fought three different attempts by the United Mine Workers to unionize the Upper Big Branch in the 90s. After the last union drive failed, CEO Blankenship cut bonuses in half, increased hours by 50%, so you get to work more for less. The coverage in our media was lacking in the pointing out of the fact that the non-union shop went unmentioned. The fact that the Upper Big Branch workforce went unorganized, with possibly the exception of Ed Schultz on MSNBC. And following up, last week, someone asked me, well, how many fatalities were in the union shops, Henry? And in response, I asked them, how many hairs are on your head? Because the fact is that the union shops are safer, that the union leader in the mine can stop work if he sees something that is a problem. And in fact, the unions in union mines, there's more citations for safety violations because the union is not afraid to speak out about the safety violations. I know that Congressman Kendrick Meek is a strong supporter of unions, but let me get to the actual matter of fact as opposed to what Rush Limbaugh said, the challenge of fact. Well, when you challenge me, I will bring you the facts. And this is from the Post-Gazette from Pittsburgh. From 2002 to 2010, the combined fatalities underground and surface were 265. The total union fatalities in that same period of time were 30. 265, 30 of them union. Union representation in the total workforce, 28.6 in the mines. So in other words, approximately 10% of the fatalities were union workers when the total union representation was close to 30%. So I think the point has been made. Let's go to a break a little bit earlier. I think Congressman Meek is standing by. We want to have plenty of time for him. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show on News Talk 820 AM. NewsTalk820.com.
This portion of the Henry Raines Show is brought to you by Callens, Little & Delgado, a full-service law firm practicing personal injury, family, criminal defense, and immigration law.
News Talk AM 820.
I'm Scott Callens from the law firm of Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal. During this season of high roadway traffic, you need to be extra cautious. You should know that Harvard researchers have concluded that cell phone use while driving increases your likelihood of being injured in a car accident by 4 times. Reduce your chances of injury by driving a bit slower and by pulling from the roadway when you must use your cell phone. You'll arrive at your destination safely, and your caller will appreciate the attention that you've given them. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we help people who have been injured by careless drivers. If you or your loved ones have been injured in an accident, you may have questions. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we want to help. There's no charge to meet with us, and our fees are based on a percentage of what we recover for you. Call us at 941-749-1446. Let us help answer your questions. Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, 941-749-1446, or reach us at makeempay.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Lang, board-certified optometric physician and certified nutritional specialist. I'm also host of Ask the Doctor, now heard live every weekday on News Talk 820 WWBA from 9 to 10 in the morning. I'm here to help answer all your questions regarding your vision, eye care, and ocular nutrition. So if you're wondering how proper nutrition may slow down aging in the eye and body, then tune in and listen about the latest in optical, medical, surgical, and nutritional treatment. That's Ask the Doctor with me, Dr. Michael Lang, now heard right here every weekday from 9 to 10 on News Talk 820 WWBA.
Henry Raines Show here at News Talk AM 820 WWBA. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Congressman Kendrick Meek, Democratic congressman from South Florida and running for the Democratic nomination and the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party for Senate in the state of Florida. Congressman Kendrick Meek, thank you so much for joining us on the Henry Raines Show.
I'm glad to be on the show, Henry, and looking forward to a great discussion.
Well, let me give the website out for the campaign, first of all. It's KendrickMeek.com, KendrickMeek.com, KendrickMeek.com. And Congressman Meek, I don't think you're going to be shocked if I say this, but, you know, the news media has sort of been focused on another aspect of the Senate campaign, and I don't think people have really had a chance to get to know you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all?
Well, KendrickMeek.com is a good reference for your listeners to go to so that they can see on the screen what I've done and what I've been involved in. I think also it's important to know that I'm the first candidate in this race. I've been running for the last 13, 14 months. And we have qualified by the ballot by signature, which is the first time in the history of the state of Florida that has happened. I'm running to make sure that Floridians have a very strong voice in the United States Senate that will create jobs here in our state. I have been working aggressively on trying to improve the opportunities that are here as it relates to creating green jobs. I look forward to working with counties that are willing to move forth on issues such as transportation and also attracting employers to our great state. I feel very strongly in health care. There's a need for additional incentives to bring health care costs down and also making sure that Floridians have rights, especially our seniors. And I look forward to being a part of that as we continue to fine-tune the health care legislation that is passed. I've represented Florida now for some 15 years. I served 4 years in the House, 4 years in the Senate, state Senate, and I've served now 7.5 years on in Congress. I've served in the Armed Services Committee, Homeland Security Committee, and now I serve on the Ways and Means Committee, a member of NATO that helped put together the force in Afghanistan. And I have a wife, Leslie Meek, and my daughter, Lauren, is 15, going on 22, and my son, that's 12, it'll be 13 next week, so in the beginning of May. And my mother served in Congress prior to my arrival. Her name is Carrie Meek. She's retired now. She'll be also 84 at the end of this month. But I'm very enthusiastic, very motivated about the position that Floridians have put my campaign in by helping us make history by signature. And I look forward to a very good election season.
We're speaking with Congressman Kendrick Meek. He is running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senator here in the state of Florida, the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. And Congressman Meek, I think you're forgetting it something there. You have a background in law enforcement too, don't you?
That's correct. I talked about my legislative piece, and I'm glad that you mentioned that I was a state trooper for 5 years here in the state of Florida. I was able to work and appointed by Governor Lawton Childs to the position in the Highway Patrol that allowed me to not only work on the security detail, but I spent 3.5 years on the road as DUI trooper. I arrested over 340 drunk drivers here in the state of Florida, which brought great recognition by Mothers Against Drunk Driving and a number of other groups, law enforcement groups that knew the importance of making sure those that are impaired should not be on our highways and byways here in this great state. But that was a great opportunity. I learned a lot. I was also a SkyCap at Miami International Airport through college and also through high school. So I learned a lot, and I look forward to continue to learn more as we continue to make this state better. I offer myself to be the next United States Senator here, and I've been very consistent in listening to Floridians, and that's what I've been doing mainly, listening to Floridians. That's how we were able to collect the required number of 112,476 petitions, but we collected, we turned in 148,000. So there's a lot of enthusiasm around the campaign. Democrats, independents, and Republicans were a part of that.
Congressman Meek, I want to get on to your accomplishments in the legislature, both here in the state and nationally, but I want to follow up a little bit about this, you being a state trooper, because I have to think that besides the fact that every day that you get up and you put on your uniform and get in your car, you have to know that you might be called upon to give up your life to protect your fellow Floridians, your fellow citizens. But what I want to ask you, though, is what did you learn about human nature with all the people you stopped, with all the people you had, whether it was an accident or a DUI or just simple law enforcement? What did you learn as a person about your fellow Floridians?
Well, I learned that everyone is different and that everyone has issues that are going on in their lives that may involve their other people outside of their lives. And being a state trooper is almost like being a psychologist. I mean, you get an opportunity to hear the whole story, and I would always say I just need to know the facts. But I'm changing a lot of car tires, giving a lot of directions to people, especially those that are visiting our state. I learned really people skills and communication skills. I picked up a lot of it from being a SkyCap, assisting people in their travels at the airport, carrying their luggage. I learned how to deal with conflict and resolution at the same time. And I feel very good about that background. As a state trooper, I mean, you just have to understand the importance of service. It wasn't the most high-paying job in the world, but it was a great opportunity for me to get a chance to worked throughout the state, and as a trooper, I worked on a number of details, you know, Daytona race detail, Sebring's race detail, events throughout the state, and I got an opportunity to interface with a number of people, and I don't have one complaint in my file or use of force complaint, but it was due to the fact that I was able to communicate with people and to assist them in a way and treat them in a way that they wanted to be treated. So I really learned a lot, and I think that's the reason why I've been successful as a congressman.
Congressman Meek, you collected all these signatures to register to be a candidate here in the state of Florida, but you know there's another way you can do it. You can just pay the money. And I'm thinking if you had to collect 500,000 plus signatures, that, you know, cost benefit wise, it would have been a lot easier just to pay the filing fee. Why didn't you do that?
Well, again, going around the state was important. Talking to Floridians was important. Getting the validation of Floridians to place my name on the ballot was important. We're in a recession right now, and for me to understand what Floridians are going through and all over the state of Florida, it was important to not only force me but force the campaign to listen to the needs of this state. And the only way to be able to have evidence of that exercise in the way that I want to be a United States senator, because when I become a senator, people of this state allows me to be a senator. I will do the same thing. I'll always be a listener. I'll always be available, reachable by the people of this great state. And the people that are working with me have to have that same mindset. So it was good for me to spend a year going throughout this state, asking people to place my name on the ballot. It was a good exercise for me for my campaign to go through that same experience. That's the reason why I say that we're the best prepared campaign here in the state of Florida to win statewide, because we have volunteers, including myself, that's willing to step up to anyone and ask them for assistance and to ask them for help and to ask them to vote for us as we continue to learn more about those needs. I've met with a number of local leaders that I've been talking with as it relates to the needs of local communities, and not just coming up with great grandiose, you know, plans of what I believe the legislation or the appropriations for that particular area.
We're speaking with Congressman Kendrick Meek. He is running for the U.S. Senate, state of Florida here. His website is kendrickmeek.com, kendrickmeek.com. And Congressman Meek, you know, I know you're very proud of your vote on health care reform. But let me ask you a tough question on this. What would you improve, if you could wave a magic wand and improve the health care reform bill, what would you add to it?
Well, I would have improved the measure that would have brought costs down. I do believe with the exchange that is in the bill now, that's federal law now, and that will be a part of the solution when it comes down to bringing costs down. I know that we had a discussion about the public option. That did not make it through the process, but I do believe that the exchange need to be given an opportunity, and that's the reason why I voted for the legislation, to make sure that those with insurance and that are being priced out of insurance, that it's affordable and that it means something. Because, just a month ago, I mean, we had insurance companies dropping people just because they felt like it. We had insurance companies saying, you don't qualify because of a pre-existing condition or you because of your family history, and that's going to no longer happen. So when we look at what's in federal law right now, as we look at the future years, the 5 to 6 years down the road, we will make sure that the legislation is get better and better and better. We did very good job as it relates to Medicare. We made sure that we closed the donut hole. Seniors usually around September starts to cut, you know, pills in half or cut back on what they buy at the grocery store just to afford their meds at the end of the year or the fourth quarter of the year. No longer will that happen. There's additional dollars that will be benefits that will be put forth for those seniors, for middle-aged folks. To be able to put their children on their health care is something up to the age of 26 is going to save some households $500 to $1,100, because if you try to buy an individual policy, especially being a young person, you find yourself in a situation that you're out of a lot of money, and that's a relief. Small businesses will receive tax breaks, tax credits to be able to provide insurance for their employees. So I think it's a good start. It's a very good start. I look forward to the future.
Let me wrap two questions in one before we have to say goodbye to Congressman Meek. Again, the website, KendrickMeek.com. You can find out lots more about him. You can find out how you participate in the race. We had Governor Crist veto SB 6 this week. And many people think that it is a foreshadowing, I guess we'll know by April 30th, that he will run as an independent, which will turn the Senate race into a three-way race, most likely between you, if Governor Crist does that, as an independent, and the Republican candidate. Two-part question again. How does that affect the race for you particularly? What's your strategy? And also, if you can wrap up for us and tell us why you would be the best candidate.
Well, I can tell you, there's nothing more powerful than teachers and parents and students standing up together to speak out against policies that are going to degrade teachers and diminish the quality of our children's education. And, I mean, for the governor to veto it, he should have vetoed it. I mean, I don't know why it's such a big, you know, big shadoo. It was a bill that was going to do more to hurt public education and attract teachers to this state than any other thing, and also affect our children. So he was supposed to veto the bill. If he didn't veto the bill, then that would be jaw-dropping. I believe that I've shown a history to public education. I was the one that not only when we could not get it passed in the legislature, smaller class sizes, led the effort along with a number of parents and grandparents and students to bring put in the state constitution smaller class sizes. And now today we have a better educational environment for the children of the state of Florida and the teachers that are standing in front of them to teach them. I can tell you the reason why I'm the best candidate in this race, because I've had real life experience. I talked about my background. I encourage people to go on to KendrickMeek.com, as you mentioned before. I encourage also people to go on our text messaging program where they can receive information from the campaign on 35736. 35736. I'm the best candidate because I've served in the service industry since I've been since I've been an adult, let's put it that way. That I've been a policymaker that has embraced job creation, has embraced sensible educational reform. And also, and have not been standing around. I've never been accused of being lazy. I've always worked towards a solution. I've always run towards problems. And I do believe that that's what this state needs. We no longer need statewide elected officials that are running in place and that are playing it very safe. And I go back to your original question of a two-part question, you know, the governor vetoing Senate Bill 6. And I challenge, you know, just about anyone. And this is the first time the governor has really stepped out into traffic and to do something that could be politically risky for him. I don't know of any other time that he has done this. Well, I've done it quite a few times, and I know how it feels. And you have to have a pattern of leadership, not just one act of leadership. And I believe that with that background, with Floridians learning that prior to the election day, will bring about success not only on behalf of this campaign, but on behalf of the people of the state of Florida. Having a motivated leader such as I to not only listen, but also give strong representation in the U.S. Senate.
We've been speaking with Congressman Kendrick Meek. He is running for the U.S. Senate here in the state of Florida, and his website is kendrickmeek.com, K-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-M-E-E-K. Congressman Meek, thank you for joining us. I look forward to updates of your campaign as we move forward.
Thank you so very much for having me on the show, and I look forward to being back on soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Congressman Kendrick Meek. Like to hear your opinions on Kendrick Meek or the Senate race. On the other side of the break, 866-977-4820. 866-977-4820. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show here on News Talk, 820 AM, WWBA.
This portion of the Henry Raines Show is brought to you by Canada Med Services. Save up to 70% on your prescriptions. Call 1-877-917-3600.
News Talk AM 820.
Paying too much for your prescription medication? Call Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600. In their sixth year of saving customers money on medications, Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Guaranteed delivery. Government inspected and approved factories. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
Got more grease on your hands than time? Then AutoZone's new buy online and pick up in-store option is for you. It's another way to get your parts fast from AutoZone. Just go to AutoZone.com, find the parts you need, choose our new pick up in-store option, and soon your parts will be waiting for you. AutoZone's new buy online, pick up in-store option. Get the parts you need right when you need them. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Henry Raines Show here, News Talk AM 820. Just want to tell Nick in the control room, I see the webcam has now been focused on me instead of you. And women all around the west coast of Florida are suffering. But, you know, that's the way it is, I guess. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820 for your opinion. Besides your opinion on Kendrick Meek, we want to talk to you about the veto of SB6, what's going on with Wall Street reform, Goldman Sachs, the nuclear summit, other things going on in Tallahassee, all that stuff. And one person, for better or worse, I'm sure has an opinion, is Lawrence in St. Pete.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Hi, Lawrence. Good to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to be with you and all the listeners, I'm sure. I'd like to first comment about Kendrick Meek.
Hey, what's this rumor I hear about you and Shayna Lance?
Yes, I think we're having well, I can't tell you.
All right. Well, tune in to the Big Show Monday through Friday from in the morning drive time here on News Talk AM 820, and you'll find out more.
You'll have to ask her about it.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay. Well, Marco Rubio, need I say more?
Well, we could say slush fund.
Yeah, I know, but
say corruption.
Saying, Kendrick,
what else you want me to say?
He has absolutely zero chance, and more power to him. Sounds like a hardworking young man, and I wish him well, but he's got no chance. Marco Rubio. Now, on the front page,
what about in a three-way race?
He has no chance if it's a five-way.
No, I'm not talking about him. I'm asking you, because he really, you know, I got to be honest with the audience, and I can be honest with my audience, because I only spend 2 hours a week with you, much less than what I spend with my family. So, the bar is low. I can be honest for 2 hours. He didn't answer the question about how this plays out in a three-way race.
And not only that, Henry, he doesn't answer anyone's questions. Did you notice, obviously, he didn't take any calls from the voters.
Well, no, again.
I know, it's a big man.
In honesty, I told them that in the short time he had allocated, there probably wouldn't be any phone calls. So.
Well, I understand that, but
We got enough to talk about, Lawrence. Let's not misrepresent. Tell me, I want your opinion, Lawrence. I didn't think that would ever come out of my mouth. I want Lawrence's opinion. How do you think a three-way race plays out with Meek, Crist, Rubio?
I still think Rubio is going to win. Crist has been and remains a rhino, and we see how that works out most recently. And for you public school people, that's Republican in name only. And so he shot himself in the foot time and time again. Just the wrong timing for Charlie and Kendrick. No chance. May I go on with the point I wanted to make?
Let me get the phone number out again. 866-974-820. 866-974-820. Don't let Lawrence dominate. You got to get in here and get your opinion, too. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, on the front page of the New York Times today, and that's for you people that like to shoot the messenger before you listen to the message. So the New York Times front page, Gates says U.S. lacks strategy to thwart Iran. May I read the first sentence, Henry?
No, because I'm actually going to talk about that with Lieutenant General Robert Gard. So thank you for foreshadowing that, though, Lawrence.
I would like to point out when you talk to the general, which I believe that would be a one-star general retired.
I don't know. I thought it was two stars, but what do I know?
Our friend...
205 is when we're going to talk to him. Let's just get to the point.
It appears that we, the country, and our administration don't have an effective long-range policy with dealing with what's going on.
I disagree, because I believe that we will be striking Iran, and it won't be for Israel. It will be for the Saudi royalties. It will be for the other... elite Sunni governing bodies in the Arabian Peninsula, whether it's Oman, United Arab Emirates, whoever. We're going to do it. I believe it. So we're on the same page there.
Today, Lawrence agrees with the New York Times front page, and I didn't think
I'd ever say that. How can you reverse yourself like that?
What was that?
You told me. You have told me on the air that you believe we're going to strike Iran.
I believe that we will sit back why Israel strikes Iran.
Either way, it's a plan.
And Obama isn't going...
Either way, it's a plan. You've contradicted yourself, Lawrence. I got to get to the next caller. Thank you. Bye. 866-974-820. Let's go to a more sane voice. Miss Christina Newport Ritchie, I missed you last week.
Well, I guess I couldn't get on because of the subject matter, I guess. Henry, hello, Henry. Everybody thinks it's easy about striking Iran, but what will happen if they shut off, close the Strait of Hormuz after in retaliation? Then what will happen to the world's oil supply?
Well, energy companies will make bigger profits. After initial cash flow problem, the Sunni royal families will make more money, and the American people will suffer, and many other people around the world will suffer.
That's what I mean. There are no easy answers to the situation. And if they have those nuclear ingredients well below the bunkers, how would the bombs penetrate anyway? Not an easy situation, no matter who's the president.
Let me just reiterate a couple things we've talked over the last few weeks. I know you know and you listen and all. But we had the Herald Scotsman, the Scottish newspaper, report about 3 weeks ago that we had about 400 bunker busters on their way to Diego Garcia to be staged for that. Also, I've talked about our casualties that are dying in countries that many people don't even know exist. Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, Yemen, all these places that I don't think Congress ever authorized the president to conduct warfare. And this week, just a day or so ago, I saw we lost a military person in Kenya. So I don't know what's going on. I have a suspicion that we are getting ready for something that most of us won't like very much at all.
Well, if the anti-war movement is active, they'll say something, unless they let Obama do what he wants. Had it been Bush, I'm sure they would have said something. But, Henry, what I wanted to talk about was a different subject. I don't know if you're going to talk about the Tea Party people. I saw that rally on C-SPAN this weekend. It was a repeat from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that rhetoric is it's disgusting. I believe in disagreeing in a civil manner. They even talked about it on Fox News Sunday this morning, and William Kristol and Britt Hume came to their defense, although Juan Williams wasn't for it. And Britt Hume said, well, it's a double standard. When Code Pink was bashing Bush, why was Bill Clinton silent? Because Bill Clinton had been on This Week criticizing. Well, what I wanted to bring up also, this morning I was watching Bill Moyers on PBS TV, and he had on two men. The last name is spelled Kwak, K-W-A-K, and a Simon Johnson. They wrote a book, I think it was a book, 13 Banks. And their website is baselinescenario.com. And they were talking about what is wrong with the banking system, what isn't being done, what should be done. I found it very interesting and informative. And if you can contact them, I think they would be interesting and informative guests on your radio show.
Well, I'm sure with your reference they would be. And actually, you foreshadowed what I wanted to talk about next.
Oh.
But I want your opinion.
Yes.
Although I think we have to go to a break. Can you hang on over the break?
Yes. I want to ask you a question about Kendrick Meek, by the way.
All right. Let's do that part first.
All right. Well, he mentioned Afghanistan. What was that? I missed it.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid I can't help you out on that either.
Oh,
I was
right.
Multitasking at the time.
I mean, in his resume, his background, I heard the word Afghanistan.
Well, he's on the Armed Forces Committee.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
866-977-4820. We want to hear from you.
866-977-4820.
On the other side of the break, we will talk about what's going on with financial reform and the banks right after this.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by HurtByAccident.com. 1-888-280-HURT. Personal injury attorneys. They'll come to you.
Little child. Running wild.
If you've been hurt by accident, and it wasn't your fault, you should know that not all negligence claims end in going to court. Most accident claims are settled out of court. And just because you have insurance doesn't mean that you will be covered for your injuries. Health insurance won't pay you for lost wages. Health insurance won't pay to fix your car or even get your rental car if you need one. Hi, I'm attorney C.J. Zaya. For nearly 20 years, my partner Kevin Gallagher and I have been helping accident victims get compensated for injuries caused by the negligence of others. And we do it for free, meaning there is no fee or cost to you unless we recover for you. Some attorneys charge you for their costs, not us. At Zaya and Gallagher, we charge you nothing. Our fee comes out of what we recover for you. Call us today, toll-free, at 1-888-280-HURT. That's 1-888-280-HURT. At the law firm of Zaya and Gallagher, personal injury law is all we do. That's 1-888-280-HURT.
It's The Big Show, a talk radio morning show that takes your phone calls.
I love the morning show. It is so funny.
Thanks for taking time out this morning to give us a call.
Thank you, guys. Great show.
We talk to newsmakers and emphasize local news.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tampa Mayor Pam Iorio.
Senate candidate Marco Rubio is with us.
Thank you.
Congressman Gus Bilirakis, welcome to The Big Show.
Oh, it's great to be here.
It's huge. It's The Big Show on News Talk AM 820. WWBA.
I'm watching my spending.
I decided to cut back.
I'm trying to be more thrifty.
It's time to tighten things up.
To stop throwing my money away.
So I bring my lunch to work.
I ride my bike to save on gas.
I go out to dinner less.
I'm shutting off lights in the house.
I'm sticking to my budget.
To make my money go further.
To spend less.
To save more.
To put my money to better use.
To pinch every penny.
So that one day.
When it all comes together.
When I've saved enough.
One day.
So one day.
I can buy a house.
Take photography lessons.
Put in air conditioning.
Visit my son overseas.
Start a savings plan.
Maybe get new curtains.
Capture what inspires me.
Paint the living room.
See the places my son tells me about.
Finally, pay off my bills.
We all make sacrifices for something greater. But at Fifth Third Bank, we know every dream is unique. That's why we ask about yours. Stop by your local banking center and let's get to work on your dream today. Fifth Third Bank, the things we do for dreams. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Henry Rain Show here, News Talk AM 820, WWBA. Website, newstalk820.com. Our podcast site, henryrainshow.podomatic.com. henryrainshow.podomatic.com. We'll work on the spelling later in the show. Also, the podcast site that has some of the early versions of what I do on the radio, AmericanAM.podomatic.com. Before we go back to Miss Christine, I want to play a little audio from the Republican that just keeps on giving talk show hosts like me something to talk about. That would be Representative Michelle Bachmann of
Sarah
Minnesota.
Palin, speaking at some of these rallies that you've been speaking at, has said that the president's policies are moving us in a direction that is un-American. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think the policies that we're looking at are the real issue right now. It's what is happening to our country. If you want to look, Tavis, at the last 18 months, the story in our country has been the federal government takeover of private industry. The federal government literally in 18 months' time has taken either direct ownership or control of 51% of the private economy. 18 months ago, 100% of the private economy was private. But today, the federal government literally owns banks, the largest insurance company in the United States. The federal government owns over half of all home mortgages today in the United States, Chrysler, GM, the student loan industry, and now health care. You add all that up, Tavis, that's 51% of the private economy. For the first time in the history of our nation, the federal government owns or controls 51% of the economy. That's not what we have been in the past. We are a free market economy, and this is completely the antithesis of a free market economy.
Oh, Michelle. Not true. Seems like that's been a theme today. Not true. We're going to get to Christine in just a second, but first of all, let's talk semantics. 100% of the private economy is always 100% of the private economy. If it's a private economy, it's private. So first of all, let's try and speak clearly. Secondly, on the banks, the government currently owns 6% of Bank of America and 7.8% of Citigroup, and it is in the process of divesting those ownership shares and is actually making a profit on the taxpayers. So that's not true. But anyway, what I want to go back to Ms. Christine to talk about.
Yes, Henry.
Is, you know, the Republicans now have taken this 41% of GOP senators, or excuse me, not 41%, I'm starting to go Michelle Bachmann on you. 41 GOP senators, all the Republicans, that would be 100% of the Republican senators, have signed a letter to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid saying they are opposed to financial regulation bill put forward by Senator Chris Dodd. What do you think of that strategy, Christine, that they're just saying no? We don't need, they don't want to do financial reform.
Well, I believe in regulation. Now, unless there's regulation rules on the books already and it's a duplication, then I think there's a problem. But I believe in regulation. Not to the point where it becomes strangulation of free enterprise and capitalism, but just enough of a balance. I believe in capitalism and free enterprise, but I believe in the regulation with it.
Well, you know,
I'm not one. You've got to have a moderation.
Well, if I wasn't clear for the audience, I mean, this means that they're going to filibuster again. And I think, and I'm going to ask you for your opinion after I finish my pontification here, but that there isn't many things that the American people are more angry about than the financial crisis, the bailout, what Wall Street has accomplished. And, you know, with health care reform, I can understand politically why that was a good strategy for the Republicans to take, just say no to health care reform. I don't understand how they think that the American people are going to get behind them on saying no to financial reform.
Well, I'm for financial reform, and once again, it ties in with Simon Johnson and the man named Kwok. I can't remember his first name now. That wrote this book, 13 Banks. They told Bill Moyers that it was a mistake for Senator McConnell to say, let the big banks fail. It would have been a catastrophe. In other words, they are too big to fail. And I think both Johnson and Kwok believe that the large banks should be broken up.
Well, before...
That's one thing, and they claim that there's too much of a friendliness between some of the congressmen and women in the banks. In fact, Mitch McConnell was at a meeting with...
Well, he actually met with 25 leaders of Wall Street in the banking industry before he brought this forward. Christine, there's some headlines I want to get to the audience, so
thank you, Henry,
for your call.
Thank you again, Henry, for your time.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-974-820 if you want to respond to anything I've said. 866-974-820. Eight banks fail. 2010 rally hits 50. Regulators shut it. Banks Friday, bringing this year's tally of failed banks and thrifts to 50. All of the failed institutions were included in the Streets.com list of undercapitalized bank. The largest institution to fail was Riverside National Bank of Florida of Fort Pierce, Florida. Florida's number one, which had $3.42 billion in total assets when it was shut down by the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. SEC accuses Goldman Sachs of civil fraud. The government has accused Goldman Sachs and Company of defrauding investors by failing to disclose conflicts of interest in subprime investments it sold as the housing market was collapsing. The Securities and Exchange Commission said in a civil complaint Friday that Goldman failed to disclose that one of its clients helped create and then bent against subprime mortgage securities that Goldman sold to the investor. This actually under-explains it, and I'm not going to try and do it in the few minutes that we have, but not only did Goldman Sachs make money from both sides of the equation, they found a third way. They actually had three sides of a two-part transaction, which someday we may get to talk about. Exxon's income tax, zero. ExxonMobil had such a profitable year in 2009, it contributed $15 billion to the world's tax coffers. Bad news? Zero to the IRS, the United States. Forbes issued a report on all the taxes of the U.S.'s top 25 firms. Exxon tries to limit the tax paying with the help of 20 wholly owned subsidiaries domiciled in the Bahamas, Bermuda, Cayman Islands. I bet it's beautiful this time of year. Also, shelter the cash flow from operations in Angola, Azerbaijan, and Abu Dhabi. Now, one other thing that I want to make you aware of, we don't have a whole lot of time for this, but there are four professors bringing a lawsuit in the European Union that will block the bailout or rescue effort for Greece. This is going to have huge repercussions, and we will look at that in a moment. But anyway, that's just the tip of the iceberg. If we don't have financial reform, if we don't make these companies separate their investment banking from their retail services, if we don't regulate derivatives, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, and we are going to be in the same situation as we were with the last crisis. The idea that the Republicans are going to do nothing, are going to obstruct, is a disservice to every U.S. citizen. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show here. News Talk AM 820 coming up, Lieutenant General Robert Gard.
News Talk AM 820.